In 2003, Jeffrey Eugenides received the Pulitzer Prize for his novel Middlesex. He is also the author of his first novel, The Virgin Suicides, which was published to great acclaim in 1993. His newest book, The Marriage Plot, is now out in paperback. It was a number one national bestseller. It is entitled The Marriage Plot. It is published by Picador, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Eugenides back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Joe.
What do you learn about a book over a year's time, going out, talking about it, discussing it, and feedback that you get from readers? Is that a not only an informative process, but at all important to you?
It's a very good question, which I've been thinking about a lot and haven't been asked before. But you find with your book sometimes that the reader's responses of the public sometimes differ from the immediate responses you get from publishers and editors, and it's always a little bit difficult to judge or ascertain which opinion is better, or if they're just different, different bits of information that you have to listen to. In the case of this book, The Marriage Plot, which I don't really think is about academic matters particularly, it begins at college, and of course all of the characters are reading books, and the book is in some ways a response to the traditional marriage plot of the English novel, but In my mind, the book is very much a contemporary novel about young love and passion. And I think the first readers of it, being publishers themselves and big readers, weren't at all daunted by some of the references in the book, because there are a lot of writers mentioned and deconstructionists lambasted in the book.
Right.
And I think for some readers out in the world who maybe read less or are less acquainted with some of these figures, sometimes I've found that they're a little bit intimidated by the amount of literary reference in the book. And so I'm always trying to persuade them that actually, the writers mentioned are just kind of atmosphere, and it's not really, you don't really have to know English literature to understand this book. But I did notice a difference with respect to that going around. That's the first thing. Other things, the book has so many different aspects to it. There's, one of the characters is interested in religion. One is manic depressive. There's a bit about yeast genetics. And what you find when your book goes out into the world is that there are so many different different groups and populations, and that each one responds to a different part of your book. So I get lots of letters from people who have been in love with bipolar, people suffering from bipolar condition, or people who have it themselves. I've gotten lots of letters from yeast geneticists, lots of letters from from Quakers and people interested in mysticism. So it's interesting because people see the book from a different lens, and you realize that a book it has its own life, and it gets into its own its own world once you release it. And that's always extremely, gratifying and surprising.
So does that become just a curiosity, or does it go a step further and have some conscious or unconscious impact on what you are writing now or will write next?
Well, I've learned not to do that. What's funny is when your book first comes out, you get a sense of how it's being received. And it's very easy to overreact to that. In the case of Middlesex, when it first came out, the subject matter was off-putting to a lot of people.
Mm.
It's told by an intersex person, and some people thought they just didn't want to read about that. So when it first came out, it actually looked like it wasn't going to reach that wide of an audience. So I could have reacted to that news as though this book is actually a failure, and started trying to, maybe just given up the writing life and become, a carpenter or something like that. But by the time 2 or 3 years rolled around, the word had gotten out that it was safe to go into the water of Middlesex, and, and that, you know, lots of people were reading the book. So it's just important not to judge an initial reaction and think that's the reaction of the book. All of my books have taken many years to kind of gain a foothold with readers. So I finish them. I have to have a kind of faith in their longevity, but I also just have to forget about them and move on to whatever is interesting me next.
I found it with this book, I found it with Middlesex, that there is such a elegant and beautiful construction of them. Yes, there is the writing, which is gripping and beautiful, but there is the construction, and I'm curious as to the thought that goes into that construction and the time of, yes, there's the writing, but then there is also the thinking and the constructing of the book.
Well, structure is extremely important to me, and the problem I have is that I can't always pre-plan the structure. I usually have to work it out as I go, and the pieces come together, and I see the way the thing will stand or fall as I write it. Some writers use an outline from the beginning and adhere to that with great fidelity. I try to do that because it would be nice, but every time I write an outline, what I come up with is usually rather simplistic and not that surprising. The kinds of plot ideas that occur to me at the beginning of a book, you know, are easily anticipated by the reader. So it's only once I'm living with the book and living with the characters, trying to imagine what they're going through, that I come up with equally plausible but more surprising outcomes. So with the marriage plot, I was quite late in the composition that I realized what the structure should be, at least for the last third of the book. And the book makes some narrative leaps and gains in momentum. The chapters get shorter, and a lot happens in the last 50 to 75 pages. I didn't even anticipate those moves when I began the book, and they're absolutely crucial for the book to work. So it was a little bit, some anxious months there when I had three quarters of the book done and realized I didn't really know how it was going to finish. But then I found the solution I was satisfied with.
But you knew always it was a love story, and that was what was at the center.
Yeah, that's true. I knew that there was a young woman besotted with romantic literature who was becoming self-aware of the romantic illusions that she suffered from and wished to emancipate herself from these by taking, you know, a rigorous course in semiotics, which would explode literature and therefore explode her romantic illusions. And as she tries to become, you know, smarter and less of a sap, she falls in love with someone in the same class. So that's what I knew the book was about. I knew it was about that irony, the extent to which reading influences our behavior, the extent to which reading makes us want to fall in love and makes us fall in love, and yet our inability not to fall in love. That's really what the book to me was about.
And obviously choices and one woman and two men.
One woman and two men, yes, a great combination. At first I didn't know how big a role one of the men, Leonard, was going to play in the book. I knew that I had Madeline, the heroine, and this character, Mitchell, who'd long been in love with her, but without success. And at first, Leonard was just kind of in the picture. He was the boyfriend obstructing Mitchell from his goal. But as I began writing it, I started to be more interested in Leonard, and the book became a three-person book. I think at first it was going to be more of a two-person book. But there's something nice about triads. You know, then I started thinking about Anna Karenina. And something I always liked about that book was that Anna Karenina's husband, Karenin, is such a cold and distasteful character for the first 400, 500 pages of that book. You see him only through Anna's point of view, and he's awful. And then around page 500, Tolstoy starts to go into Karenin's point of view, and you see the world through his eyes and gain a lot of sympathy for him. And that's such an amazing move that Tolstoy makes, that I wanted to try something like that with this book. So in this case, Leonard is seen from the outside, and his disease is seen from the outside. But finally, deep in the book, we go into his mind, and I hope gain sympathy for his experiences, and the book really, it changes. You don't know, I like things where you don't know who you're supposed to sympathize with. and maybe sympathize with everyone.
You spoke earlier about some of the challenges that you found with readers in overcoming some of the academic nature of the novel. Obviously, they did. It was a number one bestseller. And while I hate the term literary fiction, was there something redeeming or comforting to you that a book like this could rise to reach a mass audience?
Well, you know, you can't really write about anything that you're not interested in. So far, I've written three books, and on the face of them, you know, they don't seem like they would be very popular. I remember when I told people about The Virgin Suicides, you know, what are you working on? I'm an unpublished writer at that point. Well, it's a story about five sisters who commit suicide. You know, people didn't have a great hope that this would be a real page-turner. Then the next book, you know, narrated by someone who's the genetic condition that makes him intersex, also seemed outlandish. And this one, on the face of it, more immediately engaging. It's a love story about young people, but then the fact that I've added in a fair amount of deconstruction and semiotics might put people off. So in each case, my books have had to sometimes get readers to agree to get over a hump at the beginning to enjoy them. And when that happens, it's, you know, I'm happy about that. Obviously, I'm trying to write books that are engaging and emotionally satisfying, but I do have to write about what I'm interested in. And so far, the topics have been slightly unusual and not chosen for their immediate commercial appeal. So if it turns into a book that sells well, despite the obstacles, you know, one can only be grateful for that.
The name of the book is The Marriage Plot. It is a novel. It's published by Picador, just out in paperback. Jeffrey Eugenides, I'm a great fan of your work, and I thank you so much for sharing time with us. It's a great pleasure to speak with you again.
Anytime. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the novel, The Marriage Plot, it's published by Picador. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.